Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
At the back, it was a basic cost, I think it's £3, but I know some of you, there's two or three there, so you can have a look at them. Also, tomorrow evening, we have an open evening for our training school. You might have heard lots about the training academy. It's not just a training school. It sponsors and is behind a lot of the projects, like the cafe and other things. And so please do come along. There's cake and coffee and things like this. And so come along from 7:30 tomorrow evening next door and find out about the work of the training academy and with the projects. We've got a project from Birmingham, a lady who works with international women. She's there. It's one of the projects we've sponsored and supported in recent years. So please, it's not just about us. It's great to have other people there as well. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to continue in our time in Exodus. We're in a series on Exodus at the moment, and we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to come. The teacher of truth. Without him, we can do nothing. We don't understand. And so let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your goodness. We commend our brothers and sisters, particularly at this time, thinking of Estelle and Derek, and pray, Lord, for your continued healing, for those who battle daily with issues of physical or mental health or even spiritual depression. Might it be, Lord, that you come and that you lift us and give us a sense of your perspective. We thank you, we can pray for one another, Lord, as we have today. Lord, we ask that, as well as our own needs, Lord, our own wants, that you actually, Lord, raise up our view, our vista, to see what you see, to seek your kingdom first, Lord, to come before you with your things on our hearts, Lord. And I pray that you will change our hearts, you would motivate us. Holy Spirit, you'd come and there'd be a whole life transformation. We know unless you do it, it's external, it's behaviors, it's legalism. And so, Lord, we pray, please, that Holy Spirit, in only the way you can, you'd come now. And you know those things we've not given to you. It's not just the pennies in our purse at all. It's our time, our talent, our treasure. Those things, those relationships, those attitudes. Might we just open ourselves to you, Lord, and say in your gentle but firm way, come and change me. I'm so quick, Lord, to see the change needed in others. But Lord, it starts with me. So come now as we consider the journey of your people in Exodus, not only towards salvation, but to you, to become followers of the God who first saved them and first loved them. Might we be those people too. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you know, the media is just never had such a good time, the media. It's everywhere. There's a kind of an attention market going on for your time. We can only give so much attention to things on a daily basis. There's an attention market. It's valuable. People talk in this language. And the media will tell us that you are somehow, you and I, are somehow less because we don't have things. You are less because you don't have that latest car. Or your house isn't as big as you'd like it to be. You're less. You're less because you don't have that qualification. You're less because. You are somehow, that's why they sell and we buy. They buy in the sense that we feel, with some things at least, that they would somehow enhance our lives. That's how it works. If we were all totally content, there'd be a crash. We have to buy food and things like this, but lots of things in the world a vying for our attention. But also there's another myth in the church. And it says something like this. As we continue in our series in Exodus, we're at chapter 20. If you have your Bible on your phone or on your lap or on your app these days. We're looking at the whole of the book of Exodus. We've been at this almost a year. So it's online if you've missed. And we're at this commandment, the Decalogue section. This description of how it's to be for us in every area of life. But it was a myth in the amongst Christians. And it says this, that you can be a Christian without following Jesus. You don't have to follow Jesus at all. Discipleship is for the keen few who want to do it. That's a myth. Totally separate the whole experience. We're saved. And if we're really good at this, we can spend the whole of our lives literally celebrating our salvation in church without changing. It's true. And it's probably because the gospel we responded to many, many years ago, even recently, I pray not here, was that actually it's just about being saved. You've got your ticket to heaven, and then the rest is just let the church take over, and you can serve the church if you're really good on a couple of nights a week and do stuff. And so what our gospel has done, the gospel that's been declared by so many, and there are several, I won't go through them now, is that it's possible to be saved, to be in heaven because of what Jesus has done on the cross, but you don't have to follow. It's like this option on a phone contract for mobile phone insurance. Do you like that? No, I don't want that. In fact, I'm going to use the language of, I've invited Jesus into my life. Oh, yes. He's going to do exactly what I'm going to pray about. It's really wonderful, this gospel is good. You just pray about everything you need, your everything, and I'm not deriding those things. But if it stops there, I don't see Jesus saying that sort of thing. So this series in Exodus, and I wanted to use the Old Testament because we think discipleship, so many, is maybe a fad that Jesus introduced. It's in the whole character of God that he wants to save us for a purpose. You remember his first message to Moses wasn't, I'm going to save you. He says, you will come and worship me on this mountain. Your destination is always and ever shall be toward me, following me. And so we said, and I've said this to bore you all to death, that if salvation was the end game, then the book of Exodus would stop at chapter 15. Where they celebrate coming across the Red Sea and have this great worship service, as much as I love those. But it doesn't. I wonder if you ever thought, why didn't it stop there? It's interesting, isn't it? Because the Lord wants to shape us. And it involves whole life transformation. Who's comfortable with whole life transformation here? Anybody? Bit of a murmur. Apologies. But you see, whole life transformation really involves our attitude to God himself, primarily, and then our attitude to others, because it always spills out. I love the prayer we heard earlier on, which says, you know, as we stay close to the Lord, we stay close to each other. And that's how it works. And Jesus captured these two things of what following really means, not just salvation, when he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So he captured the whole Decalogue in that. Yet you see, the key thing is, I could really probably do quite an emotional, charged message today, and maybe you'll respond for the wrong reason. Because outward behavior without inner transformation is religion. It's legalism. I give my 10% in the offering. That's legalism. Good for you. I wish more did, by the way, but why stop at 10? So whenever we see an external command in the scripture, and I say this as a general rule for reading our Bibles, whenever we see an external command, it's because we don't naturally do it. God doesn't have to command us to do things we naturally do. It's true. And so, in our verse today, Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, it's in Deuteronomy as well, but this is where we're at. Thou shalt not steal. There's the verse. And the thing is, you'll probably think, well, that's me off the hook. Maybe not. I remember when I was a young lad, I decided to borrow my first car when I was 9. I can give you a 2-minute break so those who don't like that can leave. So I knew. I knew this one, big one for me. Of course, if it's just a pencil from work, you're okay, aren't you? I don't know. Ask your boss. But you see, I want to get to the root of this. See, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, I'll do this in a minute. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he went to the root of this thing. You see, what thou shalt not steal, what it really speaks of is a dissatisfaction with what we have. If we want other stuff continually, or if we, there's a dissatisfaction with what we have. As we said, the media says we are somehow less. And I'm not just talking about the purchase things, the purchase possessions. Maybe relationships. Maybe someone else's partner. Maybe someone's got a better job than me, I think. Or someone's reputation. There's this thing going on. We have a dissatisfaction. This whole commandment is getting at the point where don't steal, don't have a dissatisfaction with what you have, in a sense. And so what's really interesting up to now in the, as God's people, remember they've had this dramatic salvation. Not many people do, but a number do. Maybe you did. But whatever, they end up round the same mountain. Whatever our story, we are here today with God's word coming, and he wants us to then use that as a following. This is the whole basis of our following. And so up to now, you might know that the people of God who've been saved already and celebrated around Sinai now, and the Lord wants them to know what following looks like in every area of their life. And so they've been commanded up to now, if you've missed it, to demonstrate their following of a new ruler. Aside from all the other nations, remember the contrast to this, the foil, if you want, is the other nations around them, how they behave. The foil for us is the world. So they are called here. This is how you are now, as my precious possession, Exodus 19. You are a precious possession with all sorts of responsibilities as my people. This is how you are in contrast to everybody around you as they live. And so, in contrast, with a new ruler, they are to show in their worship of God. We've been that right at the beginning. You shall have no other gods. In their prioritizing of him. No idols. In all of this. Within their families, you're to honor your father and mother. And we expanded that out. In their relationships, how they see others. Do not murder. We spoke about how that is the ultimate way to devalue a life. God's people are to follow him in all of these areas. So up to now, God's people used to be different in that you just worship me, the one God, not a polytheistic, many God society. This is how you are. And so today, how can we follow? How can we be a follower of the Lord who saved us, King Jesus? Yahweh, Kyrios, it's the same, the word who became flesh. How do we follow him? With our possessions. Do not steal. And this is a big one. People get all out of shape. You can talk to them about anything. Start talking about the money or stuff they have. It's, whoa. We don't talk about that. You see, we live in a world just as God's people in Exodus did. That says you must have what you want at any cost. At any cost. Maybe you'll say, well, Keith, this is a bit A&E. I mean, ancient Near East. We all know this is wrong, don't we? We all know, apart from you, Keith, when you were 9, we're all good. We all know it's wrong to steal, Keith. Isn't this a bit of an obvious passage to take? Well, actually, don't we all know today that it's not like that? Actually, I was watching a program the other night about a different A&E. Accident and emergency. You might have seen it. And there was about NHS fraud. Anybody see that program? Me and Leslie, we watch too much telly. Rosemary saw it. Anyone else? Don't worry, it's not a sin. Chris, you saw it. Well, there was an intelligent, very intelligent hospital worker in the finance department of a hospital who stole, defrauded the NHS out of £300,000 for her and her husband's holidays, got found out. See, it's still a problem today. But we need to refine this, because it's not about the big stuff. That's the big stuff, isn't it? It's the stuff that's worth having a program about. But what about stealing time? What about our friendships? What about attention? This insatiable me appetite, or clinging on to what we have. You know, I've just got to do this. I'm uncertain. You know, we have passages in Scripture where the Lord rebukes his people for being stingy. You're robbing God, it says. Can I say there's great blessing in being generous with our time, talent and treasure? I've had some of the greatest blessings in my life by being generous, hilariously. You can't outgive God. It's impossible to. What about our affections? And what about probably the most precious thing we have? Time. Maybe just, well, that's mine. You see, we serve a giving God. And every time I quote this verse, I like to quote it. You know, God says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only son. And I often say, we are never more like God than when we give. Paul uses this ultimate expression to the Thessalonian church. We gave our very selves to you. You can't give more than that. Can I say, knowing because of my wife's work and some of you here, our United Kingdom, not God's kingdom, but our United Kingdom is filled with children who have everything, possession-wise, but crave what money can't buy, their parents' time and attention. Stop leaving your child in a room for 4 hours on the laptop. You will never get that time back. I don't care if they kick and scream. Because ultimately they want you. Because I deal with the adults down the line who have issues. Because that did not happen. Instead, what happens is they're taught simply by the response of the parents that I want is to pursue stuff. The pursuit of stuff, my dear child, is what really matters. The right possessions, the right school, the right university degree. You must. This is it. All good, really. None of those are evil things. But can I be honest and say, quite frankly, when I see the behavior of some believers in comparison to the world of snatch and grab and me and push out, there's no difference. God says here around the mountain, when it comes to possessions and things and what I want, you shall not steal. You are to have a contentment. You know all good things come from me. See, Jesus would often challenge behaviors. When people behaved in a way that everyone else around them, he would say, well, look, do you love those who love you? Well, even the pagans do that. Do you have my way? Do you exercise your rights every time? Well, even the pagans do that. See, let's see what God is. God brings his people and says, you're to be a peculiar people. And this whole thing of possessions and what I have and how I hold it on the palm of my hand, whatever it is. Have you ever seen a teenager lose the phone? It's like the right arm is cut off. Forget the teenager, what happens when you lose it? Everyone's got to find it. Everybody, stop what you're doing. I've lost my phone. We're laughing because that's what happens. I don't care what you're doing. Stop it. My phone's gone. My life's over. It's crazy. That reveals something. It reveals your phone's lost, sure. But something deeper around that. So what's the antidote? This is where I'm getting to. We could run around the mountain like all the other tribes and people in Exodus, and that's how you behave with your children and everything else. This is how it means to us. Jesus said, no, this is what the Lord comes, the command comes down from Yahweh. What does it mean? How are we as God's called out, saved Christ's followers to be with regards to possessions? Things we do and don't have. How can we be? The whole reason for this was that God wanted his people to be a light to the nations. A light is a contrast to darkness. If you're in the darkness, you're not a contrast. It sounds silly, but it's true. Contrast is the opposite. So how can we as a light to the nations behave differently in these matters? Where does it start when it comes to possessions? Well, the first thing I'd say is this. Don't worry, you'll have your lunch. It starts with what we value. Forget stealing something. It's good. It starts with what I value. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart shall be. Where your treasure is. And it's a section called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through to 7, in your Bible. First book, New Testament. Jesus was reframing and applying the law, this whole Decalogue and much, much more, to his newly gathered followers around him. And so Jesus here in the beginning of Matthew 5, it tells us really clearly that he's speaking to the crowds and his disciples come as well. And at the end, the crowds were amazed. So this whole thing isn't just a private conversation in this particular sermon. And so he's speaking to the crowds, amongst whom in chapter 5 verses 1 and 2 were his disciples. So this is not a post-conversion thing. Jesus is saying, right, this is what it's about. And then that filters through those who come, the people who want to come and follow and say, well, what does it mean? What does it mean to follow you in this area? Because the easy thing to do when we hear something in the crowd is to go to a different crowd. I'm not going to that church. It says in chapter 5 of Matthew, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples as well, his followers, came to him and he began to teach them. And in the first 12 verses, I'll be brief on this. In chapter 5, he talks about their characteristics, the Beatitudes. Billy Graham called them the beautiful attitudes of God's people. Poor in spirit and all this sort of thing. The meek. And then he talks about how you're to be a contrast. Imagine God's people around the mountain in Exodus. Jesus has got these people. He's on a hill. He's up there. It says there. He's on the mountainside. It's interesting. He's on the mountainside, isn't it? And he's got his disciples and the crowds there. And here's the mountainside in Exodus. And he's reframing. He's not getting rid of this because he tells them. He's not getting rid of Exodus. And so after he's talked about this is what you are to be like in your characters, in 13 to 16, he says, just like you're a light to the nations, you are the salt, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. If this is who you are in 1 to 12 of chapter 5, you're going to be salt and light. And then in 5, 17 to 20, he says, this is nothing new in case you're panicking. He's speaking to a Jewish crowd, potentially, largely. Largely. He says, I've come to fulfill the law. This is not a new gospel, a new God, a new following. And then in 5:21 through to 6:16, a big section, read chapter 5 to 7, it's great. Then read Exodus, the commandments. Just read them and see how God wants us all to be transformed in the light of the nations. Then in 5:21, he sharpens the whole focus of the Decalogue, and he talks about, you've heard it said about murder. I tell you, if you look at a woman, you've heard it as much as you hate a person, you heard it about adultery, if you much as look at a woman. And then he sharpens his whole focus. And really what this should do, as we are around here, rather than rebuke us and make us feel guilty, that's never the aim. It should cause us to thirst for the Spirit of God. Lord, I can't do this without you. Jesus told us, without me you can do nothing. How is it possible for me to be the salt and light of the world in this area? So it was a comparison in the Sermon on the Mount with how God brings a people together and says, in every area of your life, including these possessions, store up for yourselves, you heard the reading from James, treasures in heaven instead, where moth and rust and thief. I had a great friend, he's in heaven now, he's in glory, Bill. Remember old Bill? Me and Leslie, when the girls were young, we would get excited about buying something maybe. We didn't have much money and we'd maybe buy a new thing. And Bill would come in, you might remember Leslie, he'd say, yeah, moth and rust and thief. And so we just wouldn't tell him anymore about it. He was a great guy. He was just saying, don't get too attached. Lovely guy. Came to Christ late in his life. But you see, behavior and following is important. But what's happened in the gospel, I'll go back to what I said earlier. We have a gospel of just salvation only. Is we fast forward through the gospels. We go to Paul's letters. And what we talk about is grace and salvation. Isn't it great we're saved by grace? Isn't it fantastic that it's all free? There's nothing we can do for our salvation. Absolutely, amen, hallelujah. But it doesn't mean we stay put and celebrate that in Exodus 15. So the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, you're following me. This is what it's about. And a big part today of our following is our attitude to things. So do not store up for yourselves, chapter 6, 19. We heard it earlier on. Treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, what we value matters. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, and what the Lord says around Exodus 20 is, what we value matters. Our attitude to stuff starts with what we value. And what does that then do? If I'm on Christ's things, if I value God's kingdom, if the most precious thing to me is serving him as a teacher or an accountant or wherever I am, it doesn't matter. With everything, my time, my talent, my treasure, in and out of church, everywhere. If that is my focus, what I value will influence our focus. Can we see that connection? If I value something, it will take my attention. I don't look at things I'm not interested in. Ask Leslie when we go shopping. Have you seen this? What? Do you like this? Yeah, it's fine. In fact, we hardly go shopping now, do we? Together. It's good. We just know that's not a good thing to do. See, Jesus didn't just say, don't steal stuff. Don't be obsessed with possessions. You see, it's okay saying don't do things. Don't steal. This is behaviors, isn't it? But actually, he gave us a new focus. When we come to Christ, we have a new focus. We're not in a vacuum till heaven. So he says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin and destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But, this is what Jesus said, not me. But, instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. This is your value measure, your value line. This is your new focus of stuff. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus is saying, get your focus right. See, when we love something, it's our focus. We went to Kew Gardens yesterday. First time there. It's okay. It's great. And met our grandson and our oldest daughter and husband, Morris. Great. Me and Logan had a water fight. Grandson. Nearly two. I think he won. He's a lad. So, But you see, when we love someone or something, it's our focus. Someone says to me, oh, how's your grandson? I'm like this. I'm like, oh, here's the picture. Here's the latest one. They almost regret asking me. You know, when someone, you say, oh, I just want, you know, I just can't wait. I'm like, oh, it's brilliant. Look at it. Here's another one. 100. Here's one when it, yeah, and there's a, one with his hat on the floor. Because I love, he's my focus. No one has to say, have a Logan time every day. Your quiet time. No one has to beat me up to do it. I love him. I wish I could see him every minute of the day. And I love Jesus more. Hello. Where our focus, you see, will be. What we value. No one needs to tell me to do that. You see, quiet times and things like that, can I say now, just to clarify this, are very, very important. Spiritual disciplines, it comes under that, are incredibly valuable and helpful and recommended. But this is, Logan's here. It's here. So in Exodus, we see the structure of the commandments. The one we value right from the start. God gets this right, by the way. He's pretty good at this. The one we value, the one who is worthy of our worship. That's what worship is, isn't it? The first four commandments, no other gods, no idols, don't misuse his name, remember his work, his call to Sabbath rest in him. That's what we value. So pouring out of our worship and value and love for the Lord who saved us, totally, you need the right attitude to your possessions as well. It's not the other way round. So I become more spiritual. I give 10%. It's none of that. It comes out of my total spirit-filled love for Jesus. Has to. Because I'm a fraud otherwise. I'll be on a midweek program. And then our earthly focus spills out in family, in the commandments, to others, in relationships, and here in our attitude to stuff. Do not steal. See, what we value will influence our focus. Question today, what do we value the most? What do you spend most of your time thinking about? Your bank? The account? Do you log on online every day to your bank account but read your Bible once a week? That says a lot. It's worrying. What do we value? You see, that's where your heart is really. What we do is where our heart is, where we focus. The rest is just religious talk. We're good at that. Jesus' words, not mine, by the way. Don't have a go. Because out of what we value will come our focus. We're doing really well. You see, salvation without transformation, without following, leaves a people craving after the same things as everybody else in the world. Where's the salt and light in that? Where's the salt and light in that? Can I just ask another question? I remember I've been soaking in this all week thinking, gosh, this really hits hard for me. When people look at us and listen to us, what values of the kingdom and of our king are we communicating? What we value influences our focus, which lastly, there's an encouraging word in the message, impacts our behavior. See, the trouble is, pastors spend a lot of time trying to get people to behave differently. What a load of rubbish. It's legalism. Unless the Spirit of God totally transforms and arrests and puts such a passion for Jesus in your heart, you'll never do it. It won't last. It'll be begrudgingly and you'll hate everybody. Oh, spirit filled. Jesus, follower. That is frail and fails. And I fail every day. But just says, Jesus, you know I love you. I value what your things, your kingdom things, and that's going to change my focus. And Lord, I want that to change my behavior. We're going to sing a song shortly, a couple of songs, but the first one says this, Christ is enough for me. Can I ask, is he? Really? Is Christ genuinely? If you couldn't do what you do now, you didn't get the recognition you do now, the profile work, things were tight, same house, to lose whatever you had, would you still love him? Would he still be Christ to you? See, it's really easier to nurture such a focus in calm seas. It's easy to appeal when we're in crisis. So I would suggest this whole following comes at salvation. He calls us to follow in every area of our life. I want you to come round the mountain. I've brought you out for a purpose, to be a treasured possession, a light to the nations. You are the salt of the earth, a light of the world, said Jesus. Don't think I'm getting rid of the law. I've come to fulfill it. You are to be different. Isn't it great? Oh, this is so lovely. And I'll say it as I've said often. You can see probably now why the gospel we declare does actually determine the disciples we make. Because if the gospel I hear and respond to doesn't demand very much of me at all, then maybe that's where I'll sit. And that can become very me focused. And that's a really tough place to come back out of. A gospel that says you can be saved without transformation, without valuing Christ above all other things, without following, will leave people floundering, confused, battered and bruised. And maybe they will look around then at you and me and think, if this is what it means to be God's people, you can keep it. I don't want to be the best excuse for someone saying you can keep that. And maybe I have been. I repent of that, Lord. Imagine if salvation and transformation from the outset are there. Imagine that call for cost and following. To value Christ above all things. To worship him in spirit and in truth by his power. And then imagine that spilling out into every area of my life as the salt and light of my office or school or school gate or home or neighborhood. Demonstrating that we are under a new ruler, a new king, opposed to the surrounding nations. Then Jesus said, in such a community as you love one another, as I have loved you, people will see you are my disciples. There's some amazing transformation going on in that life. Then whatever the situation, as we bring this down, in fact, the darker the better sometimes, the more stretched the better. To quote Joe's favorite song, we can shine, Jesus, shine. Do you like that? Because I know that means a lot to you, that song. That's good, Joe. Paul, you see, from prison, could say this, from prison, and they didn't have TVs and pool tables in Paul's prison. He says, I have learnt to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I love this. I have learnt the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, living in plenty or in want. Well, how's that, Paul? Have you got some kind of willpower or some course you've been on? No. I can do all this, all of it, through Christ, who gives me strength. He's the one I value, love, and focus on. And everything else. Funnily enough, Jesus said, if you seek my kingdom first, all the other things will fall into place. Isn't that strange? Jesus said that as well. Final question. What do we, you and I, value? It'll be revealed in what we focus on, because what we value influences our focus, and what we focus on ultimately will impact our behavior. To the glory of God. I'm going to pray and we're going to sing, Christ is enough for me. Maybe you're feeling right now, Lord, I need to bring some things before you now. Feel free to come on, Joe, it's great. Lord, I need to. Maybe you're feeling like me. I was in the week. Lord, I need to repent, actually. You've not been enough for me, if I'm honest. You've been enough when things have been going well. But as soon as something's off kilter, it's like I lose the plot. I misrepresent you, Lord. Could I see you in a different light? Might it be, Lord, that I could so value you that just like little Logan, when someone mentions your name, I'm saying, oh, wow, oh, isn't he great? Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. So we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing, and I'm sure the group will lead us into reflection. If you want to pray, don't leave here. Because I'm convinced then, just finally, it won't be about bashing people over the head to say, give more money, because, yeah, we are. We are at a bit of a loss as a church, financially. That won't have to happen, because what will happen is the Spirit of God will, you'll be so in tune. You'll be hilarious. You'll just be generous. That's what I want to be. I just want to be, it's nothing about me, Lord. It's about you. It's about you. Because, wow, you're amazing. Let me pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want to follow you, but to be honest, it's easier to skip this one out. It's easier, Lord, to just, yeah, I get caught up. It's, my focus is gone so often, Lord. It's, I do the things I don't want to do, and the things I know I should do, I don't, Lord. The Holy Spirit, please come. I don't want this to be legalism or emotion. I want you to come and deeply, deeply, deeply transform me. Lord, if I love you, but I want you to really help me love you better. I want you, Lord, to just give me a passionate love for Jesus. Lord, that it just oozes out of me, Lord. You've saved me for a purpose, Lord. I'm on this planet breathing in and out. I'm not in heaven now because you call me to be salt and light. In this area where people are obsessed with what they have, I could be so different, Lord. Help me to model what it means to be a Christ follower in this area. And Lord, you are enough. Christ is enough for me. Everything I need, Lord, you are. Bless anyone here, Lord, who struggles and is battling. May it be a grace community of helping each other, praying with each other to represent you well, to be your people in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.